is game day as the Sens will take on the Winnipeg Jets tonight at 7. 5 o'clock will be our pregame show. We'll get set throughout the day today. Sens will be on the ice later on this morning with a game day skate. We'll get the very latest on the potential lineup. Will we see either of Jacob Bernard-Docker or Shane Pinto in the lineup tonight? It sounded like, based on what the coach had to say yesterday, that they probably will not play tonight. Sounds like they want to, because he did mention, well, we got a game tomorrow, but we got two practices after that before our next game. The other thing he said just in about those two guys in particular, talking about DJ Smith, said, listen, it's not like they're both going to make their debut or have to make their debut in the same game. Like, it doesn't have to be. It's a package deal.
But wouldn't it be cool?
Well, I don't know.
It'd be a great story. I'd love to see them both.
You get your solo lap, though. You got to share it with somebody, right? Didn't we have that last year with the two guys that debuted in the same game?
Yep.
So if you had to guess right now, as it sits, is JB, if they were to pick one guy as opposed to the other, and it would be lineup-based at the end of the day.
To be honest, I think it would be Shane Pinto that might get in. I think it's a little bit easier always for a forward to get in before a defenseman. I think,
I think it's the opposite. Zaitsev didn't practice yesterday, and so JBD skated with Shabbat as a placeholder. But there is not, if Zaitsev can't go tonight, it sounds like he will, but if he can't go tonight, like it is Jacob Bernard-Docker. They have Ole Alsing as well, who's has hardly played at all this year, let alone being of NHL caliber at this stage of his career. So it's JBD who would jump in. So I think he's closer to being in the lineup than Shane Pinto.
I guess due to injury and if Zaitsev can't go, and Pierre said it last hour, he's got no problem whatsoever of tossing JBD in there and pairing him up with Thomas Chabot.
That's Pierre Maguire.
Yeah, Pierre Maguire.
He doesn't have final say in that.
But I think he speaks for a lot of the fans, too. When you see Jacob Bernard-Docker, he went back to North Dakota, another year of seasoning. Should be good to go, right? It's like another a year in the American Hockey League. Get in there, get at it, and see what you can do right now in the final 13-14 games of the NHL season.
All right. Jacob Bernard-Docker did speak yesterday and was asked what he thinks will be his biggest adjustment to playing in the National Hockey League.
I think probably just defending in the corners. I know, I watched last night and, Winnipeg's got some big, strong forwards that are, really good at working the puck low and protecting pucks. So I think for me, it's just, not giving them too much respect when I, do get in the lineup at some point here. And just trusting my abilities.
All right, so there is his answer to, and he's right, Winnipeg has some big boys that play on their forward unit, so that would be that. Not that there aren't at the NCHC, at the college hockey level, but Winnipeg brings to the table probably as much size at the forward position as any team in the National Hockey League.
Well, there's college strength, and there's professional.
Man strength.
Man strength, yep. Exactly. But I do love the confidence of Jacob Bernard-Docker and Shane Pinto, both when asked that, I'm good to go. Get me in there. I don't need to wait. I'm ready to go right now.
And neither of them professed that they thought it was a huge difference, huge jump. He said, both of them said, I don't remember which one specifically said, listen, we get prepared at North Dakota to play professional hockey. Like it is, we don't consider it to be a huge jump. It is a jump. They acknowledge the fact that it's going to be faster. I'm going to have to make decisions faster, be faster with the puck. But we have been trained for this. Now, it's one thing to be trained for. It's another to actually experience it. And
I think it's all well and good to say that and have that mental approach to it when you do get your opportunity. But I it's the National Hockey League. It's the greatest league in the world for hockey. And as Simmer likes to coin it, ice hockey.
Right.
It's going to be a little bit different once you finally get into the action and get battling with NHL professionals.
So my best guess, other than late scratch due to injury, illness, whatever, is I don't think either of them are going to play tonight. First of all, because the Sens played really well the other night, and all things being equal, I think they would like to keep the same lineup. They would like these two guys to practice more than once before they jump into a game. So again, with two more days of practice after tonight's game before they play again, if I had to guess, I think they don't play tonight And one or both might make their debut Saturday against Montreal, if I had to guess.
And what a great place to debut, too, to make your NHL debut is at the Bell Center in Montreal. Not exactly the same with no fans, but it's still pretty cool to step out on that ice.
The other big question, of course, tonight is who is going to play net for Ottawa. It is trending toward Matt Murray. He's been back practicing for the last 7 to 10 days. They were going to make the final determination probably this morning after further discussion with Matt and amongst themselves, talking about the coaching staff as to whether Matt Murray will step back into the lineup. Of course, he's been out the last month. It's hard to remember. Yeah, it's almost exactly a month when Matt Murray left that game against, it was against Toronto, right? It was a Sunday night game. It was Joey Decord's game after the great post-game interview that he did.
Very emotional.
Yeah, exactly. That's what made that memorable, is he had to jump in at the last minute and ended up getting his first NHL win. Here's Matt Murray talking about the frustration with this lingering injury.
You know, take it one day at a time type of things. It was hard to really put a number on it or a timeline on it. So it could get a little bit frustrating at times. But again, like I always say, I just try to take it one day at a time. Wake up every day, see how it feels, and go from there.
All right, so we'll see how it feels this morning when he shows up or has showed up for a practice and or today for the game day as to whether Matt Murray is going to play tonight or not. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question is goalie-related for you today. The next time the Sens win a playoff game, who will be the goalie? Matt Murray, Joey Decord, Philip Gustafsson, Mads Søgaard, the gigantic Danish goalie, the great Dane that they actually signed to his professional contract yesterday. Which of those four will be the goalie when the Sens win their next playoff game? So as you think about how you're going to vote on this, you'll want to, as part of your thinking, bring into account two other aspects. One, the Seattle expansion draft. We'll likely see one of the two younger guys, Søgaard is not eligible, potentially losing one of them in the expansion draft. The other part of it is contract for Matt Murray, with having 3 more years at $6.25 million. The other aspect is, when will the Sens actually make the playoffs? Do you see this as being something that would be next year? Or is it still a couple of years away before they get into the playoffs with the potential of winning that playoff games? That's part of the framing of the question, which makes it interesting. Who will win the Sens' next playoff game? Both you and I talked about this earlier this morning, Hammer. Both you and I both said Matt Murray. Eric said Joey Decord. We both said Matt Murray. At the point we last discussed this, which was in the 7 o'clock hour, Joey Decord was leading the voting. The voting with web poll questions tends to be pretty consistent as the day goes on. It doesn't tend to change a lot. It has changed in this case, which is interesting to me. Matt Murray is now the leader at 39%, 34%
wow,
say Joey Decord, and 23% say Philip Gustafsson, just 4% on the Great Dane. So that's a pretty good split. 39% for Murray, 34% for Decord, and 23% for Philip Gustafsson as to who will win the next Sens playoff game.
That's a pretty good question from our Steve Lloyd from a few weeks ago that I tossed in the old memory bank and thought, hey, when we need one, this is one that we can definitely go to at any time, especially after the signing of Mads Søgaard. Now, it is interesting because, like you said, you project to win when they're going to make the playoffs. And for me, I think they've got an excellent opportunity next season to push for a playoff spot. And the reason I say that is in this division that they're in this season, the Canadian division, who have they had the best luck against? Who have they had the most success against? Well, it's the Leafs and the Canadians, two teams that they're going to continue to play next season.
All right.
They won't be having their games against the Edmonton Oilers. They won't be playing them 9 times and losing those 9 games.
Yeah, but in place of Edmonton, you're going to get Tampa. And in place of whomever else, Winnipeg, that you consider
again,
to be strong.
Again, that's just 3 games or 4 games, right?
No, it's 5. You play 5 games against your divisional opponents. It's not as, no, you're right, it's not as many, but I would make a very, I'd be very confident in making my argument that the Tampa Bay Lightning are a better team than the Edmonton Oilers.
I would agree with you on that, for sure.
You've got, by the way, Florida, which has been surprisingly, has been good this year, surprisingly good. And is this just a one-off season where, you know, next year they'll kind of revert back to the Florida that we think of, which is a mid-league team that maybe is a possibility for the playoffs?
And that division, too, isn't the strongest that they're playing in, the Hurricanes and the Lightning. There's a lot of bottom feeders there in that division.
Yeah, fair enough. But if we revert back to the normal divisional form next year, and Boston is back in the equation as well, whatever you think of where the Bruins are at, are they going to be still a – are they an ascending team? Are they a team that's kind of where they're at? Or – as they get a bit of age on them, are they going to be a descending team by next season? So
they're a team that they've got some decisions to make because they are an aging team. So you, at some point, you figure they've got to take a step back at some point, and they've got to inject, especially offensively. They're pretty much a one-line team. They need to figure out how to get a little more scoring from the rest of their lines. But for next season, you challenge, and then 2 years from now, you're hoping that they're in, the Senators, that is. You're hoping that they make it into the playoffs. So I give it 2 years, and that's why I stick with Matt Murray in my decision with that poll question.
So which of the teams right now, the other seven teams in the Atlantic Division, which are, to refresh everyone's memory, Toronto, Montreal, Tampa, Florida, Boston, Buffalo, and Detroit? If the Ottawa Senators are going to make the playoffs, as you said, 2 years from now, what will be the team that they will beat out for that playoff spot? Toronto, Montreal, Tampa, Florida, Boston, Buffalo, Detroit. So let's
2 years from now, I think it's going to be the Boston Bruins that you are going to beat out. I think the Boston Bruins at some point there are going to drop off, and I think they've got enough veteran talent. It's not going to be a complete rebuild. But it's going to be a retool for them, and it's going to take them some time to offensively be a competitor in the Atlantic Division again.
Yeah. So you consider Toronto to be still a playoff team that point 2 years from now? I think
absolutely.
So as well. Montreal?
That's a tricky one. The Canadians, you never know
what you're
going to get from them.
The problem is the amount of money. And then Shea Weber's salary cap hit is not as bad, but it's still significant enough. And he is if you listen to the likes of Eric Maccomello, who watch a lot of the games, he's a declining player this year, or his play has not been very good. Well, what is Shea Weber 2 years from now, if he's still playing? And the amount of money he's going to – like, the problem for Montreal is going to be they've got some good young players, but how is it all going to work under the salary cap going forward, right? They've got some committed money already. They've got some good young players that are going to need some contracts. You're not going to be able to do it all. And you're going to be paying Carey Price $10.5 million a year 2 years from now and beyond.
The Montreal Canadiens are going to be a consistent bubble team for me moving forward until they get out from underneath some of those contracts.
And Tampa Bay as well. I mean, they've got spectacular talent. But at some point, right, they got Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow last year. They traded first-rounders for them for both of those. They were key parts of them winning the Stanley Cup. But those two guys are on really, really tiny contracts, which was part of the reason they were willing to give up what they did, is they were able to fit them under the cap. Well, their contracts are up at the end of this year. So they're going to get neither of those guys back at their existing deals. So pretty good chance both of those guys move on. Steven Stamkos, a couple of years from now, is still going to be making $8.5 million. He's not going to be getting any better. Like Tampa Bay, I totally get what they're doing, and I totally agree with what they're doing. They're trading first-rounders for the likes of David Savard. They're trying to win as many Stanley Cups in as short amount of time while their window is open as they can. As saying goes, flags fly forever. So your championship banner will always be there, even if you have to sell the farm for the future in the here and now. So at some point, it'll come home to roost for Tampa. Will it be 2 years from now? Hard to say. They'll still have a bunch of great players who are in their prime in Braden Point and Kucherov and Palat will still be a fine player, and Victor Hedman. They've still got lots of players, but eventually there will be a decline, and they won't have any draft picks to supplement it, cheap players that are going to be able to come up from underneath and help supplement the star players who are taking up a huge part of the salary cap.
And face it, they were pretty lucky this year as well to get under the salary cap, thanks in all part to Kucherov's injury, his long-term injury. They didn't have to pay him all season long.
You didn't do air quotes when you said injury for Kucherov.
Do you really think they kept him out legitimately healthy?
Yes. Well, no, I think he was injured.
He was injured.
There's no doubt he was injured. I just think he could have been back before the end of the season, but that doesn't work for the salary cap
no.
with long-term injured reserves.
Yeah, did they push it and extend it, and then, lo and behold, You're good to go for the playoffs here, Cooch.
Like Mike getting a free player at the trade deadline, only they get it for the playoffs. All right, so thoughts on our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Who will win the Sens' next playoff game? Matt Murray, Joey Decord, Philip Gustafson, Matt Sogard, let us know what you think. Go to our website, tsn1200.ca. Click down the right rail. You'll find it there. Let us know what you think. We'll keep you updated throughout the day. All right, a little past 9:30. We'll take a break. Up next, we're going to go out to Winnipeg, talk to Dennis Bayak, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Jets. They're taking on the Sens tonight. Thoughts on the Jets not doing a whole heck of a lot at the trade deadline? Was it an opportunity missed to push this team potentially over the top to win the Canadian division? We'll talk to Dennis about that when we come back on this Sens Game Day Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Sens and Jets tonight at 7. 5 o'clock will be our pregame show. There is no doubt the Winnipeg Jets will be a playoff team in the Canadian division, but did they perhaps miss an opportunity by not necessarily loading up, but adding a bit more than they did at the NHL trade deadline last Monday? Of course, adding Jordy Benn, but that was it to talk a little bit more about the Jets as we head toward the game tonight and the stretch run in the Canadian division. We welcome on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline Dennis Bayak, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Jets on TSN television. How are you doing this morning, Dennis?
I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. Hey, listen, before we talk about the team and the game tonight, I wanted to ask you, as a guy who's been in the television broadcasting business for a long time, you're doing the home games, obviously, from the rink, but the away games, you're calling off a monitor from the rink as well and not being in the building. What kind of a challenge has that been for you this season?
Well, I think the biggest thing that, and you kind of really don't think of this initially until you get some games that are just terrific hockey games, and you kind of say to yourself, I wish I was there. And, you know, that's happened a number of times, and that's kind of why we get into this business, because we love broadcasting, but we also love hockey. And I think as much as anything, you know, that's kind of what I miss, being on the road and seeing all the games live. But, you know, you've got your normal challenges. There's some teams that have the retro jerseys where the numbers are very difficult to pick up, and those sorts of little things. But you know what? We are very appreciative of the fact of the effort that everybody has put forth in getting the NHL going this year. Glad to be working and glad to be calling hockey games. But, yeah, there's some little challenges with it. You miss the excitement. You miss the – you'll call a wrong number from time to time because you're only seeing part of it off a TV screen or whatever. You don't get to see what's going on behind the play as much as you would live. But, again, just glad to be working.
Part of, you know, the job of a play-by-play crew is to convey the excitement of what's going on in front of them. And it's even though they're not fans at the home games, at least the players are there, and you kind of get that. When you're in an empty arena, when there's not a game being played in front of you, but you're in the arena calling the game off a monitor in front of you, are there times you kind of have to tell yourself, hey, listen, there's zero ambience around me right now. I got to make sure I kind of keep my enthusiasm up as well in terms of my call.
Yeah, we get some crowd noise fed into our ears, you know, the same kind of crowd noise that you get inside the rink. And I just find that if the game is really good, I get caught up in the game. And I don't find that to be as much of a challenge maybe as I thought it might be. And maybe the fact that, you know, over the years I've called some world championship games where you've had Norway play Germany in Slovakia where there's not a lot of fans in the building, so you kind of get used to it. But I just kind of get wrapped up in the game, and as long as it's a good close game and a competitive game, that's really all you want as a broadcaster.
Well, you're seeing lots of good games. Obviously, the Winnipeg Jets have been playing good hockey for pretty much the entire season. There's not much doubt they're going to make the playoffs in the Canadian division. But I guess the million-dollar question for those of us who are kind of watching it from afar, Dennis, is should there have been potentially more added at the trade deadline? What's been the feel in Winnipeg about what Kevin Cheveldayoff did or did not do on Monday?
Well, that has been the feel, and there's no doubt fans wanted more. I think trade deadline day becomes like a disease in Canada where if you don't do something huge, then you're not trying. From a Winnipeg Jets standpoint, they had a number of guys ticketed. They weren't looking for necessarily depth. They were looking for some experience. They were looking for some size. But they were looking for somebody that could play in their top four more than anything. And those players just never became available. Once David Savard got dealt, a lot of the other names that were being tossed around just never got moved, whether it be a Matthias Ekholm, whether it be a Josh Manson, Goligoski, Jamie Oleksiak's name was mentioned out there. I think those were the ones that the Winnipeg Jets were targeting. And when all was said and done, those players never got moved. So when it came to the depth players, they felt they've got Sammy Niku here, who has some NHL experience under his belt. Same goes for Ville Heinola. Dylan Sandberg is a young defenseman that's come in. They've realized that some of those young defensemen are very close to being very good NHL players. Logan Stanley has stepped in and done a very good job. So if you compared what was out there after to what they were going to have to give up to get that player, if you put those two together, for them it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to be going and getting players that weren't going to play for you and were still going to be maybe two, three defensemen away from getting into your lineup. So they targeted some defensemen that they thought were going to be available, and that never panned out. So, I mean, that's where some of the criticism and some of the question marks are coming in. But you can only make a trade for what's available, and it turns out some of the guys they wanted weren't available.
Speaking with Dennis Bayak, the television play-by-play voice of the Winnipeg Jets. Kevin Cheveldayoff, in his entire time as GM of the Jets, has always been very patient. And then, a couple of years ago when the Jets were really pushing, he made trades in consecutive years where he gave up first-rounders. And the Paul Stastny one, that was the year the Jets, I think, made the conference final. Then the next year it was Kevin Hayes, and that one didn't work out as well. Would there have been any reluctance on Cheveldayoff's behalf in terms of giving up draft pick capital based on the Hayes experience, that it didn't work out as well? Was that part of the equation?
No, I don't think so. The only other thing that came into play, and I don't think this came into play with a lot of the teams, but I think with some of the teams, I think the fact that there was going to be no playoff revenue, some teams make a deal to get to the next round. And because of the revenue that's going to generate, well, that was out of the equation this year. So it kind of made it a bit of a different trade deadline day. But I don't think Kevin Cheveldayoff has always believed that if there's a player out there that can come in and help his group, he will make that deal, barring, having to give up way too much in the process. But I don't think any past deals came into play here. I really believe it boiled down to some of the defensemen that they had targeted just were not available that they felt could step in. As it turns out, they got Jordy Benn, and Jordy Benn's going to come in here and be the most experienced defenseman that the Winnipeg Jets have. And that is the one thing with the Jets defense corps. There's nobody back there that has played 800 or 900 games or is closing in on 1,000 games. They just don't have those people because of the transition that they had on the back end going back a couple of years with the loss of Dustin Byfuglien when he retired. Ben Sherratt, Tyler Myers, Jacob Trouba, that's been all well documented. So they've had a turnover on the back end, and Jordy Benn will come in and be a veteran back there for them.
Well, there's no doubt up front, the top six and even into the top nine, that's as deep as you can get in the Canadian division. And Connor Hellebuyck, reigning Vezina Trophy winner, arguably, maybe inarguably, the best goaltender in the Canadian division. So the team seems set there. You brought up the fact that if there was a spot they wanted to upgrade, it was back on defense. They didn't at the end of the day. So in your belief, is this team deep enough that it could still get through the playoffs and win the Canadian division?
That'll depend on injuries, and I think that goes with a lot of teams when you trade for depth at the trade deadline. It's an insurance policy that if two of my defensemen get hurt, I've got some people to back that up, and that was the case in a lot of the trades that were made. Yes, I still believe this team can compete. It's going to be an interesting run. They've got the Ottawa Senators tonight. And then after that, the Winnipeg Jets will start. They've got seven games coming up with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers. And that will give them, it'll be beyond the trade deadline, obviously, but it will give them a real good look as to where they stand and what they need to do to make sure they can compete in this North Division, because the four teams that, and Calgary's still got a chance, I think the games in hand are going to come into play there. All the Calgary and Montreal have five games left, so they'll decide who's going to get that last playoff spot. But I do believe it's going to be Montreal, and I think all four teams that are headed for the playoffs are four very good teams. So over the next 2 weeks here, the Winnipeg Jets will see how much difference there is between themselves and the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers. But when Blake Wheeler gets back, you talked about the top, the forwards on this group. The top, the 12 forwards that the Winnipeg Jets will put out if everybody's healthy, all the way down to the fourth line, a veteran fourth line that has been so good for the Winnipeg Jets this year. They'll be very good up there, and then the challenges will be on the back end. Can this defensive group play the way we've seen them play a number of in a lot of games this year? Can they get to the top of their game that come postseason, they can perform to exactly what's being expected from them?
You've had a chance to watch Pierre-Luc Dubois now for 27 games in a Jets uniform. Do you think, you know, compared to Patrick Laine that you've seen in playoffs past, do the Jets have a better chance with Dubois than they would have had with Laine?
Just because of the position. I'm a huge Patrick Laine fan. I've never had a bad thing to say about Patrick Laine. I know he's got some struggles in Columbus, but a very exciting player. He's a young player that needs some maturity. So, and as is Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, we forget sometimes that these players are from the 2016 draft, so they don't have a lot of games under their belt. They came in as youngsters and are probably still trying to find their way. It's been an interesting year for Pierre-Luc Dubois. He leaves Columbus, comes here, has to go through some isolation and some quarantine, then comes back in the lineup. He gets hurt, he's out again, and then he comes back, and there hasn't been a lot of practice time, and I think that's played a part a little bit in him adapting to the Winnipeg Jets' style of play, which is very different than what he played in Columbus. And I think some practice time would be very beneficial to him. I don't think that's going to happen. But he scored some big goals. He's a big, powerful man, and plays that center ice position. So if you look at strength down the middle, he has solidified that for the Winnipeg Jets. You mentioned the trades for Paul Stastny, the trades for Kevin Hayes that Kevin Cheveldayoff has had to make over the past number of years. Finding that second-line center has not been an issue for the Winnipeg Jets. They've got Mark Scheifele, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Adam Lowry, and Nate Thompson down the middle. That's as good as it gets, and Pierre-Luc Dubois has fit in real well.
Blake Wheeler has been out of the lineup recently. Earlier this season, there was some criticism of his play, especially kind of on the defensive side of things. Was the criticism warranted, and B, is he still a huge part of what the Winnipeg Jets are up front? How necessary is he in the entire scheme of things?
Yeah, I don't know if the criticism was warranted, and yet well, I understand where it was coming from, because Blake Wheeler, despite the fact I am 100% convinced he was playing through something, would not say that. The coach wouldn't say that. So every time they were asked about it, Blake Wheeler basically said, I'm in the lineup. View me as being 100%. So thus came some of the criticism. Was Blake Wheeler 100%? I don't believe he was. I think he was playing through something, and I think he was playing through something even right up to the time he got hurt. So once they get back, he has been skating. We don't get detailed reports as to how he's doing the second day or the third day after a skate. Once they get back from this road trip and he gets back out with his players, we'll get a better idea of where he stands and see whether or not he's ready for the weekend or not.
All right, I just wanted to finish up with a question on Connor Hellebuyck. He's all-world. I mean, everybody recognizes that. And every time he's in there, Winnipeg obviously has a great chance to win. How much, and as Paul, I don't know if Paul Maurice has been asked this question. I mean, Winnipeg looks good for a playoff spot, for sure. Are they going to, you know, ride him with a majority of the games? Are they going to try and, you know, rest him at least maybe a little bit more than they typically do? What's the game plan for the goaltending as far as you've heard?
Well, they're Ottawa tonight, Toronto tomorrow. Lauren Brossoit will get one of those games. They've got another set of back-to-back coming up. I think we will see Lauren Brossoit a little bit down the stretch. And yet Connor Hellebuyck has been happy with the balance between off days and game days. But I do think that Lauren Brossoit will get some action as they head down to the final stretch here in this season.
Yeah, 34 starts for Hellebuck so far, and 8 for Brossoit. So it's been pretty lopsided. We'll see what happens, and maybe we'll see Brossoit as soon as tonight against Ottawa. Hey, Dennis, really appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the stretch run for the Jets.
You bet. Thank you very much. Take care.
All right, there's Dennis Bayak, play-by-play voice of the Winnipeg Jets, of course. You find him at the World Juniors and the World Hockey Championships for TSN as well. Good guy. Been doing it for a long time. Did we talk to Dennis on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline? Gabriel Pizza, the bigger, better pizza. Order online at GabrielPizza.com. We'll take a break and back with one final segment before we turn things over to Steve Lloyd and Chris Stevenson. Kenny Walls for In the Box coming up after 10. Lee and AJ are on the drive this afternoon. Our pregame show begins at 5, and then Dina Gord will have the call from CTC Sens and Jets tonight right here on TSN 1200. Thanks again to Dennis Bayak, play-by-play voice of the Jets, for joining us. Again, game tonight is at 7, 5 o'clock pregame show before Ottawa heads out on the road for 4 in a row, I believe it is, starting in Montreal Saturday, then it's out west to Calgary and Vancouver next week. Hopeful that the Canucks are going to get back on the ice. They're scheduled to play their first game actually coming up this weekend. By the way, as well as Ottawa playing tonight, the Belleville Senators are in action tonight. They're out in Calgary to take on the Stockton Heat. Belleville in the middle of a season-long 8-game road trip that started out well in Toronto, did not go very well in Manitoba, even though I think they end up winning one. Anyway, they were widely outshot and outplayed in most of the games. And again, the update on Logan Brown from head coach Troy Mann yesterday on In the Box was that he had a setback last week. So who knows when we will see Logan Brown, if we will see Logan Brown back in the BSens lineup. But that, again, a 7 o'clock Eastern face-off time tonight for the BSens and the Stockton Heat. We'll, of course, keep you up to date throughout the broadcast tonight on that. And with that, we will put a wrap on the show. And thank you very much for listening again today. Don't forget, In the Box is coming up. Steve Lloyd and Chris Stevenson, you take through the next 4 hours. Then it's the drive this afternoon, pregame at 5 and the face-off at 7. Enjoy the game, and we'll look forward to chatting with you tomorrow right here on TSN 1200.